Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. Andrew Brandt has been a longtime guest of the program. He's a columnist at the MMQB, Business of Sports podcast as well. He's a smart guy who we learn from every time he's on. And when we have questions about the machinations of business in the NFL, we normally go to Andrew. So, Andrew, the Redskins and Trent Williams are in this fight right now that is only starting to get going, and they're going to start throwing some blows here soon as well on whether or not his contract is going to toll. The team seems to think by putting him on the NFI list, they've got a chance maybe that he won't be a year closer to free agency, but if you talk to him or the NFLPA, they say he'll absolutely accrue a season for this year, and he's only going to have 1 year left on his deal. What can you tell us?
You know, an accrued season is 6 games on full pay status. He's going to be at least 6 games, obviously, but the question is going to be full pay status. The Redskins have adjusted the full pay status to NFI, non-football injury, which allows for them to pay from zero to full pay. And we don't know what they're paying on that, but if they're going to bring up this tolling discussion, it's probably going to be less than full pay. You know, these are tricky, and I haven't been as dived in on the Trent Williams situation as you guys, but it just seems from afar, what a mess, what a lack of trust, what a differing opinion between team doctors and whatever doctors Trent Williams had, to the point where the Redskins are very involved in putting together this review from the NFLPA and the NFL and their sort of high-level medical committee, which I believe the NFLPA and Trent Williams has said they don't really want that anymore. They know there's been difficulties in getting the real answers, and they just want out. So this is a mess, as I'm sure you're discussing. I'll say this, Grant. Listen, everyone asks me, like a lot of times people ask me, what's something working in a front office that people don't know? And here's the usual with my answer. The amount of time spent on medical. People don't realize how much time is spent on medical. People think it's scouting and coaching and cap management and contracts. It's medical. Whether you're dealing in situations like this, whether you're working on injury settlements, where you're getting updates, whether you're figuring out who's going to be up, who's going to be down, whether you're dealing with second opinions, whether you're dealing with second surgeries, whether you're dealing with workers' compensation, whether you're dealing with long-term disability, whether you're dealing with PTD. So these are all the things that come up as a former front office executive. Oh, my God, medical's everywhere. And now it's really reached this boiling point where this is it looks like an unsalvageable situation.
Andrew, you've been on the team side of things. And Grant and I don't think we're the sharpest tools, but we're also not the dullest knives in the drawer, right? We are desperately trying to figure out what the Redskins' end game is here. What are they hoping to accomplish? And I get the you don't want someone to be out there lying about you, spreading what you believe are rumors or whatever. We just don't understand what the Redskins are hoping here. Could you try to shed some light on that? What do they want to have happen in the end?
It's a great question. I've been on the team side and I've been on the agent side a decade each, and I'm trying to look at it from both sides. I think from the team side right now, it seems to me, this is kind of an obvious point, but they're just really trying to protect the PR, that they're not this organization that throws players away, that doesn't discover diseases, that doesn't have medical care that would discover anything like a tumor, a growth, cancerous growth. It just seems like there's a lot of PR right now. But on the more adversarial side, the NFI is like, oh, wow, what's going on there? Because then it's like your initial question. Then it's preventing a player from accessing free agency. And now, well, now you know my saying on Twitter is there will be lawyers, because this is something that is not just about misdiagnosis, about protect saving face from a diagnosis. This is about the player's earning power, and that's difficult. And, of course, Trent Williams mentioned the Colt McCoy situation as well, and now there's all kinds of back and forth about care. And putting on my agent hat, you know, it's the opposite. You want to protect the future of this earning power, and you're talking about a top-tier left tackle in free agency next year. You know, now you're talking about $14, $15, $16, $17 million a year. So this is high stakes right now. I think what we all have concluded is this relationship's over. The question is, are the Redskins looking to hold these rights another year while the relationship's over? It just seems odd. I mean, maybe sort of trade value or whatever it may be, but it's just, it really is uncomfortable.
You probably never had a dispute, I wouldn't think, in your days running an organization quite to this level. This is fairly unprecedented.
No.
But I am curious, and it's a little bit repetitive to what Danny just asked, but are you surprised to see this go to this length? What am I missing? This is a bad question, but I'm confused here. What am I missing for them not to just trade this guy and avoid all this? Why is this worth it to them?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I talked a lot leading up to the trade deadline about all these moves. And, you know, just generally, I will say this. I never dealt with something like this. But when I saw what Jalen Ramsey was doing, and I guess you so go back a year ago to Earl Thomas in Seattle, that scared me. As a front office executive, that scared me. Because I said this in a column for Sports Illustrated. Holdouts don't scare me. You know, holdouts, the player's not there. It's a 1 or 2 day story. Then you move on. Hold-ins are scary. So Earl Thomas didn't want to be in Seattle because they wouldn't do his contract, and he was being a pain in the butt. Jalen Ramsey didn't want to be in Jacksonville because someone said something or whatever it was. He was being a pain in the butt, really didn't want to play. That's a problem. That's a real problem for organizations. Hold-ins more than hold-outs. And I really thought that they would trade Williams because otherwise they're going to have what they have now, a hold-in. Because hold-ins, he's there. And you've got young players, and young players are contagious to older veterans who are leaders. And so Jalen Ramsey was a problem for the Jaguars, and they moved him, and luckily for them, they got 2 ones. But I don't understand this, because this is not good. Forget about the fact they're having a losing and terrible season. You have a guy that feels this way about the front office in your locker room. That's what scared me most about situations like this as a front office executive. If he's a holdout, no problem. But if he's in the building, that's why I'm like you. I don't understand the value of him being there, especially if Cleveland or whoever was going to give high, high draft compensation.
And that's what I wanted to get to. The terrific Andrew Brandt is with us of the MMQB. When was maximum value, and what do you think ultimately they could have gotten here in this?
Well, it's the medical is going to be the factor, and you know, we're still unclear on medical. We hear from Trent on this. We hear from the Redskins. We hear about a panel impaneled about the NFL, NFLPA. So if I'm an acquiring team, I'm going to get deep into the medical. But assuming medical checks out, you know, then what have we seen? We've seen high-value positions get extraordinary compensation lately. With what happened with Mack, with what happened with Ramsey, with what happened to Laremy Tunsil is probably the best data point here. So So I don't know if they could have gotten two ones because the age is a factor, I guess. But, you know, getting another one to combine with their high one, I mean, they could have done some things. So I don't know. You know, again, Cleveland, is not looking good after giving up a one for Beckham. They're having a tough year. So would they have done that again? I don't know. Cleveland was obviously the highly rumored team. Or maybe a veteran player, but I don't know if a veteran player was something the Redskins would have wanted in return. So it's hard to answer that in a vacuum, but, you know, medical was going to be the key.
Andrew, excellent information, great insight. Really appreciate you. Thank you.
Oh, always a pleasure, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Andrew.
Andrew Brandt on Grant and Danny. Love getting smart people on that can educate us on the things going on with this football team. We got through part of our best NFL games of the weekend. We'll continue our list with the top two games and where we slot in LSU and Alabama, although Danny's already done that. We'll do it next right here on The Fan. 40 miles west of D.C., 25 wineries, 6 breweries. Great place to spend a day. Fauquier County. You guys comfortably sleep on Fauquier. All it is a really good place to spend a few hours on a weekend or maybe even an overnight romantic getaway. Also great budding place that is being looked at and taken as the next stop for businesses that are coming from all over the country. Fauquier County is something that I think is booming. It's bustling, and it's why I'm spending more and more time there with my family on the weekends. Check it out. 40 minutes outside of D.C., straight down 66. You get a day where there isn't much traffic on the weekend. You can get out there a little over a half hour and be right back. It's beautiful. Go check it out. It's a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. We're ranking the top 5 NFL games of the weekend. To number 2 we go. My number 2 game of the week, Danny. How about the Minnesota Vikings and the Dallas Cowboys?
Oh, I'm into this one.
I love this game for a lot of reasons. So let's start with Dallas just got a big win. They are now 5-3. They are a half game up on the Philadelphia Eagles for first place in the NFC East. They are at home, and with another victory, they will be in the driver's seat to win their division. They're taking on a Minnesota team that's one game out of first, still plays Green Bay again. Very good chance to win its division if they handle their business. Kirk Cousins generally plays tremendously indoors. You think about some November games against the Cowboys on the road, where he threw for 400 yards and played really well. He's having an outstanding season. Minnesota's been without Adam Thielen for most of the last 3 weeks now. He's not going to play on Sunday.
So he was back last week, aggravated the hamstring in early in the first quarter.
Yeah. He came back after not playing against the Redskins and not playing the majority of the game before that. I'm trying to think who they lit up right before they played the Redskins. Do you remember?
Why am I blanking on that?
They crushed the Eagles. That might have been what it was.
Was it the Lions that they put a bunch of points up
against?
Right.
Yeah. Exactly what it was. So he got hurt, I think, in that Eagles game.
Uh-huh.
Didn't play a lot of that game when they torched the Eagles. He caught a touchdown early, and that's where he got hurt. Then they blew out the Lions. Then they played the Redskins. They didn't need to score any points. And then last week, they lost to the Kansas City Chiefs without him. I think not having him is big, but the Cowboys likely to have Amari Cooper might not have the best version of him. He's dealing with a knee. He got an MRI yesterday as well. You get a couple of big weapons banged up here, but 6-3 versus 5-3.
Big game.
Two eye test playoff teams. If you just look at the conference standings right now, this is the 5th and 6th best team in the NFC going head-to-head. They've both outscored their opponents by between 75 and 85 points. Comparable teams. They like to run the ball. They like to go play action. They like to take some shots down the field, and they like to play good defense. I love this game.
We keep hammering this point, but the NFC is anybody's ballgame.
Yep.
At this point. San Francisco 8-0 driver's seat. That could change within 3 weeks, right? Because they've got a teaser alert. They got Seattle this weekend. But there's a bunch of good teams. Carolina right now at 5-3 could be out of the playoffs. Minnesota at 6-3 could either win that division. They too could miss the postseason just because of how deep the NFC is. I think the NFC East, this may be not that bold of a prediction, but I think they only end up getting one team, just the division winner, and the wild card teams are coming from somewhere else, just kind of given how it's played out. 5-3 Dallas, 5-4 Philadelphia. But if Dallas is 6-3, it's definitely driver's seat. They just lapped Philadelphia. You basically go up a game and a half there over the Eagles, which is a big deal. with their bye week, with the Eagles' bye week still to come. So this is a huge one for Dallas, equally big for Minnesota, who's got to keep pace with Green Bay and the rest of the field in the NFC. Leads me, that's my number two game as well, leads me to my number one game this weekend. Just hinted at it. This San Francisco-Seattle game has all the trimmings. It's got subplots, the Richard Sherman Revenge Bowl. It's got the Russell Wilson MVP tour. Now what can you do against the best defense you've played this year? It's got Kyle Shanahan finally going up against a worthy opponent. They're on the road talking about Seattle coming down to San Fran. I'm seeing San Francisco, by the way, by 6 points in this game. Six and a hook in some books. I'm surprised that we mentioned this with Evan Abrams yesterday. I'm surprised at how big that line is. That indicates to me a mistrust of Seattle and a belief, finally, that San Francisco is real. I think having Emmanuel Sanders as part of that receiving core has finally given them the near, medium, and far type offense, right? Where you can dominate close to the line of scrimmage with Breida, with Mostert, with Coleman. George Kittle kind of in between working that underneath. He's excellent. And now Sanders gives you a threat down the field a little bit, letting Garoppolo push it that way. That offense now has become complete and they're dynamic with Emmanuel Sanders, and it's going to get better. I cannot wait for this test. I cannot wait for it. It's the game of the weekend.
Yeah, it is. It's my number one game as well in the NFL. And like you, I am pumped. It's a Monday night football game, by the way. How rare is it that we get the best game of the week on Monday night in primetime?
Been a minute since that's happened.
Oh, no. I got to check the cap schedule, make sure I can just sit back on the couch and enjoy this sucker.
When do these Capitals play, Grant?
The Capitals play on Monday, on Veterans Day. So I'm going to be multitasking.
Oh, no.
My friend, they've got the Arizona Coyotes in town for a game.
Do the Coyotes, by the way, still play that terrible style where nobody scores and it's boring and they play five guys on defense?
They don't anymore.
They don't do that anymore?
No.
What? That could be fun then.
It's a new thing. It's going to be a little bit more fun now with Arizona. But that's your game of the weekend. By the way, we both had the Sunday night game, the Vikings and the Cowboys, is our number two game of the weekend. And then our third and fourth games were 4 o'clock games. So it's not normally this way, but basically as we ramp up to the primetime games, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, and Monday, the games get better and better, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that. That should be what primetime is.
We'd like
Give me the goodness of the primetime.
It's hard to do it without flexing constantly and changing times, and you can't go Sunday to Monday last minute.
Can I scald you with a take right here?
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you've got to go visit a medical professional. I think...
Do I need to get some skin grafting done?
You're going to hate this. Okay. I think every week, the primetime game should be plucked out and put there.
Like at the beginning of the week.
Flex from Jump Street.
But I'm sure you could do that from a stadium standpoint, where you're just going to now have a Monday game, and you didn't know it until 4 days beforehand.
Monday you can't do. I'm talking about Sunday. From minute go... You go, you know, what's the best game of the week? What do we want the most eyes on? Boom goes the dynamite. You do it.
I think it's tough for fans. I think it's brutal for media travel, but I don't hate the idea. As long as you're not telling me that the Monday game is not premeditated.
I'm also not doing it on a Friday either. You know, it's like it's got to be announced in a little bit in advance so people have time to
prep
their schedule.
First thing Monday morning or Sunday night.
And I'd even have an announcement with it. I would go, ladies and gentlemen, tonight's Sunday night game is, boom, Sunday night game. And
I don't hate that.
I put it on the television set.
I kind of like it.
Watch it.
Now, we also, as part of this exercise, we're slotting where we would have put LSU Alabama into this if we're going full weekend college football.
I just did it, man.
You put it
at three? Number three?
I'm putting it number one above all these games.
No, Grant Paulson.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be that good, that fun. Two SEC teams colliding, two of the best three teams in the country, doesn't matter what poll you look at this point. And more important than any of that, possibly the two top picks in the NFL draft, Tua Tagovailoa and Joe Burrow.
There are so many first-rounders in this game.
Only probably about a dozen.
Like Jerry Jeudy is your headliner, but that other guy, I'm blanking on his name from Alabama, the receiver who's so fast, he's the, what's his name, Gar? Ruggs, Henry Ruggs. That's the thing I covet. That's the catch it at 2 yards and take it 50.
I forget who I was talking to yesterday. Maybe it was on the show and I'll sound dumb, but someone told me yesterday they think Alabama has four first-round wide receivers. They legitimately think that Alabama has four receivers this year that are going to go in the first round.
On the roster?
I don't know if that's a thing. I've never heard of anything like that. I'll take their word for it.
It's like the year, remember NC State had four first-round guys in the front seven? Remember that was a few years ago? And you kept going, one of these teams is wrong about at least one of these guys. So like, somebody's incorrect. You know?
Joe Burrow has become the front runner for the Heisman Trophy.
He's silly.
He plays well, LSU wins. I think we could just hand him the Heisman right now. But he also way less important to him. Like, he's thinking about winning the Heisman. I don't think he's thinking about this. He's creeping up my big board with every single pass.
I bet you somebody from the SID probably tells him this week, goes, hey, man, not to put any extra pressure on you.
So a couple of updates. Right now, everyone says you're going to win the Heisman, and
that's
Grant
cool.
Paulson really, really likes you as an NFL quarterback.
Who's Grant Paulson? Don't you worry about that.
Just know that he's fallen in love with you every step of the way. This dude looks like what it looks like, man. I am in to a Joe Burrow gem at Bryant-Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, 3:30 kickoff. Now, maybe he falls on his face. Maybe he crashes back down to earth, and we all need a little bit of that sometimes. That's okay. I won't be out on him, but it'll be revealing. I will update my folder that says Joe Burrow on it in my filing cabinet. But if he puts on a clinic and he goes out there and throws for 282 and 3 touchdowns and they beat Alabama, we're going to start having some conversations about the NFL draft.
This is not your older brother's SEC either. You know what I mean? Like, the days of this being a 14-13 game that's just a war of attrition, these offenses are outstanding. That's what's so fun about this. I like this. It's like a Pac-12 game got drunk, and now all of a sudden they're playing in the SEC with nothing but grown men. Oh, it's so fun.
And I'm going to put the horse before the cart for a second, ahead of when it's normally expected. Grant's best bish this weekend.
No.
Grant's best bish. Great feel on this game. LSU plus 6.5. I think 6.5 for this spread is crazy. I might even take LSU on a money line. I might go outright LSU. But I feel so good about it. Plus 6.5. Grant's best bish.
Grant's best bish. Over under 63. What do you like? I'm not asking for a best bish. I'm just saying, what do you think?
Under. Under 63.
I actually do too. I actually think it goes under. But I still think lots of points get scored, but I think it's under 63. Am I crazy for that?
I don't think so. Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. We'll win off the field coming up in about 15 right here on G&D. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. It's a Football Friday. We are presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet for real sports fans. At 11:45, as we do every Friday, we'll win off the field. You can call us, tell us the little teeny tiny thing that happened that made your day better, what's gone right in your day. If you're new to the show, I think you will enjoy that segment. And we don't do it for each other or even for you guys, our listeners. We normally do this show for you guys. No, we do it for Bruce Allen, and we will do it today just before noon, about 10 minutes from right now. Speaking of Bruce Allen, the Redskins yesterday decided that they would place Trent Williams on the non-football injury list. We had Andrew Brandt on to explain exactly what that meant at 11 a.m. today. If you missed that interview, you'll want to podcast it at thefandc.com. The Redskins are going to try to win a fight, it sounds like, where they're going to try to, A, not have to pay Williams this year, and B, because they don't pay him for 6 games on the active roster, they're going to try to say that they should get a year of his contract back and that he shouldn't get credit for this season. Most people are saying they're not going to be able to win that fight and that Trent Williams will be 1 year closer to free agency. The reason I'm so upset, Danny, is that when they trade him this offseason now, they'll get less back for him than they would have. But I brought this up before the show, and I want to do this on the air and also see maybe if a couple people call in. That's fine, 2-800-636-1067. Is there any chance at all? Is there any possibility? Is it a non-zero op that they don't trade him this offseason and that they go into next season doing this same dog and pony show where they just decide that it's more important to them that he has to sit basically for his last 2 years so that he gets slap in the face or whatever it is, I don't know, slap on the wrist, and they don't trade him?
I definitely think it's a possibility. Again, the fact that we're here, if you'd have told me this in June, when kind of the real crux of this broke, right, when we really learned how deep this was. Because, okay, he didn't show up to OTAs. He never does. He's always working out in Texas with his own guys, and he's doing cone drills and running up hills and doing push-ups on medicine balls and whatever. Okay, that's not a big deal, but I'm thinking back to the timeline here. If you told me this is where we would be at this point, I said, there's no way. They'll avoid all of this. But again, they're here, and I think it's because of their own doing. And I can't get over that. How desperate are you? Right? You could see them having gone this far down the road going, We should just cut our losses and get what we can get. I don't think they can let themselves, and again, I say they, it's really Bruce. I don't think he can let himself lose this way. And it's short-sighted. It's myopic. It's silly. It's futile. It's a waste of time and energy. But again, they have done crazier things. Picking up that injury guarantee on Robert Griffin's contract was the least sensical thing that they could have done, and they did that years ago, right? It meant that you couldn't play him. A guy that they wanted to play so bad that he had to still be in the building, just sort of casting a pall over everything that they did. It was just ridiculous. It was horrendous. It was so dumb. And yet they did it casually. We even were talking about before that, just going back to that injury extension thing, saying, hey, we should talk about this as a possibility. And we were like, you know what? We probably shouldn't because it's so stupid and asinine. And there they went ahead and did it. I could see this absolutely being the thing where they are determined to send some sort of message to the player, to the players on the team, to agents, to the league, in their mind, winning this and not letting anybody dictate how they're going to run their business is more important than getting good value, more important than putting this toxic thing behind them, more important than any other normal, calm avenue that an NFL football team should take, which is to try to win as many football games as you possibly can.
I think if they'll that try happens, to win it. It'll break me. I mean, it'll, you know, because I wear plenty of hats, right? Mm-hmm. I'm perfectly capable of going and sitting in that press box and writing a story right down the middle and sitting on the show and being an analyst, and I've been a beat reporter for the team. But I grew up a Redskins fan, and like everyone, I got into this business because I love sports. I mean, that'll be it. You know, that'll be kind of the end of the road for me because it's going to be more evidence of what I already know, which is what should be important and what should matter does not.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that they'll do that. I'm going to give them too much credit. Probably, but I'm going to give them, sounds like more credit than you here. But then again, I did that when I said that they were going to trade him before the deadline. You know, when you and I were screaming in training camp that they weren't doing it. And then we were screaming in September that they weren't doing it. And then when supposedly the Browns called in the fall and said, here's a number one pick for him. And every step of the way, I was writing pieces for The Athletic. I was saying on air, writing with my mouth on this show.
Yeah.
It's time to trade this guy. I always thought they were going to, if they were misplaying it, it was just a miscalculation of the market. That they were buying a house and they said, well, wait till the spring. We're not going to do it now in the fall. And maybe they would misplay their hand that way, which I could live with. But it turned out they just were never going to trade him because they wanted to win this stare down. Kevin in Arlington, you're on the Fan. What's up?
Hey, guys. I have a theory on this, and I think we're going to find out. Our friend up in New York, Tony, who talks about the front boss, that you know, Alan is basically Junior Soprano and Dan is Tony Soprano. If that's true, then we're not going to give up Trent Williams for nothing, and we could hold him if that's true. But that's what I guess I want to find out. Is Bruce autonomous? Is Dan allowing Bruce, in spite of his love for Williams, to be autonomous and making this decision, or is Dan going to finally have enough and say, you know what, Bruce, you're out. We're 1-15 or 2-14, however we finish. And Trent's a career Redskin, and we're gonna make amends, and we're gonna fix the medical, and we're gonna bring him back. Even though,
oh man,
I believe Trent has, you know, he's left out that he didn't go after 3 years to the referral and other things. But in the end, they just haven't treated him right, in my opinion. And so I'm gonna think that's the crux. If Bruce is still here and Trent is still here, you have to know that Dan is playing good cop, bad cop, and that he's letting Bruce be the bad guy, but he really doesn't want to cave to Williams either.
I think that's a very astute point, Kevin. I really do believe that. Because it's very easy. I mean, this is a terrible analogy, but bear with me. There was a comic who I dealt with years ago who was very nice, then had his manager come in, and she was awful to us. Well, who empowered her to do that? Who empowered that manager to be rude and mean to the other people that you were working with, right? He was super nice to our faces and shook our hands and tried to be like pleasant and friendly.
Yeah, but he wanted the bad
guy. Then he left the room. That's what happened. And that's, I think, what Dan's able to do.
Ronnie, Philly, what's up?
Hey, Ronnie.
What's going on, guys? I'm here for work today, and I'm about to speak on a panel, and we'll certainly thank the
nice
Philadelphia Phillies for having Bryce Harper. Anyway, I'll get to my Trent Williams comment. What I want to say about that is, look, any other franchise, it's not possible. There's no scenario under any circumstance whatsoever that Trent Williams comes back. But because it's the Washington Redskins that we're talking about, it's absolutely possible. And you can go through the same dog and pony show and end up getting absolutely no value for him in the end. That would not surprise me at all.
So, you know, what's interesting, Ronnie, is I'd love to dismiss what you're saying and say, oh, you're just doing the, oh, it's the Redskins. They could do anything terrible thing that I really genuinely hate when people do that. But here's why you're right about it this time. How many teams would he still be on the team now? How many other teams wouldn't have traded him to avoid all of this? I can't think of another team dysfunctional enough in this situation and operation from a team presidency standpoint that would allow this to fester. He's still here. That in and of itself is an outrage. It's preposterous. Mm-hmm. It's hilarious. I mean, it really is comical that he's still here now. So if he could still be here now, why couldn't he still be here at the end of next offseason? Even though I think it's not going to happen, there's no way it could or should. I said the same thing about him being here now. It's just only slightly more ridiculous. Thanks much for the call. Winning off the field next, 800-636-1067. Tell us how you are in the win column. Allen once said many years ago that the Redskins, while they were losing a lot, they weren't losing as much as they are now, but they were losing plenty, were okay. They were in good shape because they were getting wins where it mattered. Not on the scoreboard, but off the field.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
So in honor of Bruce, we decided we'd start tallying up our off-field victories. Some of the things that don't really matter, but that make you a little bit happier in your day. Perhaps you got in your car and your wife filled up the gas tank last night. You didn't know when she was out with the girls.
Winning off the field.
Maybe you thought you were going to work without your lunch, only to find out that you had a 5-spot in your pocket. You could walk down the street and get a hot dog from 7-Eleven.
Winning off the field.
Little tiny things.
Like, there's room in this life for major things.
Danny Rauer.
Right, like that. Like, that's not my name. But that's a major thing that that's not my name, right?
Danny Rauer.
It is great that guy said Danny Rauer.
He did say that, by the way. And that's great.
Danny Rauer.
Your major thing is great. Congrats on winning your major. Maybe you'll catch that golf guy that won a bunch of majors that time.
He botched it twice. He Danny said Rauer and Rauer.
Yeah. I think there's two different ones, right? There's three, Thali?
Danny Rauer.
Rauer is one.
Yeah.
Danny Rauer.
That's Rauer. The second one. It's very similar to the first
similar.
One.
Similar.
Danny Rauer.
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 That's my favorite botch.
Yeah. Rauer. That guy's voice is so great.
Rauer.
Rauer. And those major things are awesome.
Rauer.
But it's not for this segment. Not now. Not 11:45 on Friday.
So give the people an example of how you would be winning off the field.
They're very basic. I will do that. The lady wife had a work dinner Thursday evening. Work dinner, which it translates into not getting home at all. It's just me and the kids. And I went to Seventh Hill Pizza, which is delicious in our neighborhood, with a couple, a friend of ours, and their kids as well. And all it took was a person going, come on, when I was trying to decide whether to eat healthy or violate my diet.
See, I didn't realize. Your wife wasn't there for that.
No, she wasn't present. This wouldn't have happened otherwise.
Sense.
It took one of the kids, a child, by the way, said, come on. Not even one of the adults. A child said, come on. And so what I did was I had a large pizza by myself. And I had 4 croquettes, which are filled with delicious meats. And I also had 3 arancini balls. And I was so full and so happy. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Did you show up expecting to behave?
100%. I picked that place because, A, it's delicious. It's a great little pizza joint. They're so good with kids. It's like the 5'10 dinner
mayonnaise.
Crowd. They don't have any of that. But they got good salads, which is all relative. I mean, obviously, every salad sucks, and the best salad's worse than the worst sandwich.
How dare you?
Easy, Phyllis. I'm right. You know I am. And they have like meatballs, Brussels sprouts, deviled eggs. They got good sides.
So you could eat 2 or 3 sides that aren't completely healthy, but are kind of healthy-ish.
Yeah, and that's usually what I do.
And leave without just demolishing yourself.
What I don't always do is eat an entire large pizza with a couple fried apples.
How are you supposed to say no to a kid who said one time, come on?
Shame.
Yeah, the 4-year-old, and actually she just turned 5, said, come on. That was her quote, come on, and I said, okay. And I did what you wanted.
You're right. It's
embarrassing.
Oh, shame. That's funny. Steve's in Fairfax. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. So I wake up this morning and I'm dreading going to work because there's nothing worse than Friday meetings. So instead of getting out of going to work, I show up like the great employee that I am. And I find out that but 2 of my supervisors are not in, meetings canceled, feet up on the desk, listening to Granddaddy. Therefore, sure. I'm
winning off the field.
My man, that's a good way to spend your Friday. Matt in Stafford, how are you?
Fantastic. I'm doing great. Stafford's doing great. Fakir's doing great.
Fakir's doing really great.
I got a giant hunk of lint out of the lint trap today.
Winning off the field?
Is this the drying machine lint trap? What are we talking about?
Yeah, you get the giant softball-sized lint out of there, and then you can make a silly fire, use it as a fire starter.
Time to court.
See, I've never done that. That's actually kind of an interesting way to do it.
Yeah, I've always thrown those out when it comes to it.
Same.
Collectibles.
Thank you very much.
I do love, though, scraping along and getting that big
baseball-sized
lint ball is nice.
Why is that so satisfying?
Because you got a lint ball Joseph right there in your hand. It's really, really good.
Lint ball Joseph.
You want to do it again?
No!
Let's go to Rich in Olney. Hello, Rich. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, buddy.
How are you?
Hey, congrats on being part of that parade, man. Well deserved.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate that.
So our rep told us she'd be bringing in some lunch for us today. You know, we all help each other out. She walked in with a bag full of Popeye's fried chicken sandwiches. I do not have to get assaulted when I go one, so now I am.
Hey, real quick, I do want to ask you, in our Grant and Danny Fantasy Football Listener League, we did make a bet. I did beat
you.
We did. What do I win? I don't remember, because I'm getting a chocolate lava cake from Phil in Alexandria. What am I getting from Rich and Olney?
You get any bottle, $30 limit.
Surprise.
How much does the handle of Jack cost?
Over $30.
Oh, okay.
Maybe like, surprise.
I can get you Jack.
Okay, yeah, let's do $30 of Jack, whatever that is.
Sure. No
it's
problem,
like a
brother.
Fifth in a flask.
All right.
He's a fun guy.
So we'll link up soon enough and we'll do that.
I'm gonna owe Rich something, by the way.
Well, you're gonna owe everyone something.
Well,
your team in that league is kind of a show.
It's terrible. 2-7. I am on a two game winning streak.
You've won two in a row?
Yeah, but I'm not
Danny's back.
No. I'm not. I'm gonna finish in last place.
No, you know what? You're doing what you hate. You're squeezing out these end of year wins.
Yeah.
Instead of you should be rebuilding.
Everybody's been fired. I tried to collude. I wanted trades.
Did you fire everybody?
Everyone's fired.
You've blown everyone out.
Everyone has been fired.
Are you starting the kid quarterback? Who's your quarterback?
I'll find out. I don't even know.
I'll bet you it's a veteran. I'll bet you you're starting a 32-year-old. Let's go to Tom in Haymarket. Hey, Tom, how are you?
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Grant and Drew. How are you?
Hey, Baldy.
Very well, Baldy.
Just got back from our first family trip to Disney on Wednesday. Had a great time, but I ran the numbers this morning, and we came in $500 under budget. So this week I am
winning off the field.
I'll tell you what. You go to Disney World, and you end up $500 under budget. I don't even know how you would do that. But I'm proud of you. That's pretty awesome. You got your fantasy team up yet?
Yeah, I'm looking at it.
How many old guys are on that team?
Nothing but old guys.
You better start gutting that old roster.
Look at all these veterans.
You know what you need to do as Danny Ruye, as your principal in life? You need to just sign a bunch of rookies off the scrap heap. What you need to do.
I'm happy to do that. But and people in the league will get mad if I start cutting everybody.
Well, yeah, you can't do
that. Can help people. Like, I have Julio Jones. He should be able to help teams.
You know, the culture
is
actually damn good.
That's how we feel in our locker room right now.
We don't hear that clip enough, Tommy. Keep that one in the chamber.
It's actually damn good.
Fire that one off every segment or two.
I'm just one of you guys. It's
until
damn
I die.
Good.
Until I die, I want to hear that every segment or two.
I'm just like you all.
Who's your quarterback?
Dak Prescott. And this is the bet I was going to have with Rich. I was like, a couple guys went that I wanted. I had no interest in Dak Prescott. One, because he's a Cowboy. I hate owning Cowboys. Yada, yada, yada. And I also thought he would be pedestrian handing the ball off. Well, Rich was like, I bet you he's got 35 total touchdowns this year. And I was like, no chance he ends up with that. No shot he ends up with 35 total touchdowns. He's at 15 now with 3 rushing touchdowns. So he's got 18 total through 8 games.
Soak over it and look at each other.
He's got a shot at the 35.
I think that was a good bet by you.
And I thought so, too. But I don't. So I may have to pay Rich in some form of fashion.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
That's right, Lloyd. I may have to not only take a shot in public on a Tuesday night, which I have no interest in doing, but I probably have to buy Rich a bottle of booze.
Yeah!
I think you should cut Dak Prescott or keep him so that no one signs him. But you should pick up Dwayne Haskins and start.
Just bench him. Just put my money where I'm at.
Show the Redskins a thing or two.
Make sure I lose.
You can't kill the Redskins for not starting Haskins when they're something in 7, and then you don't do it either. You got to pick up Haskins and start the kid for the rebuilding season.
They're playing. Yeah, they're playing the way they're playing.
Oh my God, that's the best. I forgot about that.
How's the defense doing,
Jay? That was literally the question. What was your take on the defense? He couldn't lie. He's so bad at lying. This was Jay Gruden's answer.
They're playing. Yeah, they're playing the way they're playing.
I mean, he couldn't say. He's just say they're playing well. So I got it. They're playing well. And just turn around. Everything went fine.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
We know what you're talking about. Yeah. Grant and Danny on the Fan, the Beltway Blitz is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.